Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, August 14th. This is Susan Over. We will begin with Council to Appoint Residents to Panel, Bloomington. The City Council is expected to move forward today with a new Resident-Based Transportation Commission as it considers appointments of its first commissioners. Quote, it is an exciting step forward in terms of giving us greater tools to use as we look at transportation planning within the city, as well as improving our accessibility to residents and involving them in the process, said Ward 4 Alderman Amelia Baragas, end quote. The City Council meets at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. Baragas proposed creating the commission made up of residents to assist, inform, and advise city staff and the council on transportation issues brought to them by staff or on recommendations of City Manager David Hales or the council. Quote, but I am also hoping they will be a very proactive group and discuss some of the potential issues facing the city and look for creative ways to help solve some transportation problems from both a safety and a quality of life focus, said Baragas, end quote. Previously, the city had a staff-only traffic advisory committee, but Baragas argued for more transparency and public involvement. In June, the council voted 7-1 to create the Transportation Commission. Ward 8 Alderman Diana Hauman cast the dissenting vote. Mayor Terry Renner, selecting from a pool of fewer than a dozen applicants, chose Angela Ballantini, Jill Blair, Maureen Reaney Bradley, Catherine Brown, Michael Gorman, Elizabeth Kuba, and Kelly Rumley. Their perspectives include experience with bicycling to disability accessibility to mass transit, said Baragas. Renner said, quote, I think that is what is really important is to have a wide variety of perspectives, Eastsiders and Westsiders, people in newer homes as well as people living in older neighborhoods. The Public Transportation Commission will replace the staff committee. What staff is looking forward to is partnering with them on different topics moving forward, said Public Works Director Jim Karch. We are going to provide some baseline education on where city is at, where the, that was missing, is at, and things that we have been considering over the past few years, such as complete streets and other transportation policies. I am hopeful they will start meeting in September, but I have not heard a final timeline yet, said Baragas, adding that could depend on the arrival of a new transportation engineer. We have lots of projects for them to be potentially looking at, so the sooner we can get them to work, the better, said Baragas, end quote. In other action, the council will consider this evening allowing electrical portable signs no larger than 8 square feet on public-funded, not-for-profit transit vehicles. Cash-strapped Connect Transit requested in June the city change its ordinance to allow it to generate a new revenue stream from electronic advertisements on the backs of its buses in the Twin Cities. Approving the purchase of hockey dasher boards for Grossinger Motors Arena in the amount of $187,871. Approving a resolution authorizing the city manager to approve a contract with the lowest responsible bidder for the supply of electrical energy with a 100% renewable option. Lincoln-based Stone River Group, the city's consultant to obtain energy supply pricing, is planning an August 30th bid date for 13 municipalities, including Normal and Bloomington. A contract would not take effect until June 2018. The city's current municipal electrical aggregation contract expires on May 31st of 2018. Approving a zoning change to allow construction of the Islamic Center of McLean County on a 6-acre site near Olympia Drive and Wicker Road in East Bloomington. End of article. Normal Police Department earns advanced reaccreditation. The Normal Police Department has received advanced reaccreditation from the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies, Inc. The department also received the Accreditation with Excellence Award for its commitment to accreditation and an exemplary on-site evaluation. Flick fact, do you know how many railroads operate in McLean County today? Answer, 6. In addition to Amtrak, there are 5 freight carriers, Union Pacific, Norfolk Southern, Toledo, Peoria, and Western, Canadian National, and Bloomer Shippers. The first 3 pass through the Twin Cities, while the TP&W runs through Gridley and Shenoa. Canadian National makes it through Hayworth, and the Bloomer Shippers Connecting Railroad reaches Colfax and passes through Anchor and Cropsey. Thanks to Bill Kemp, librarian at the McLean County Museum of History downtown. Ameren to upgrade area meters. Technology to allow customers to better control their costs. Bloomington, electric and natural gas meters for more than 60,000 residential Ameren customers in central Illinois will be upgraded during the next several months. Customers in McLean, Livingston, Tazewell, and Woodford counties will receive information about the upgrades, which are scheduled to begin in September and continue into 2018. Gussie Reed, Division Director for Ameren Illinois, serving McLean County, said the project is part of Ameren's multi-year plan to improve service reliability and create jobs in central and southern Illinois. The new smart meter works with the other system upgrades that Ameren Illinois is making, including installing automated switches and sensors to help the utility detect and isolate outages and restore service more promptly, Reed said. As technology continues to advance, the energy usage information captured by the smart meters will enable customers to take an active role in controlling their energy usage and cost. Smart meters will deliver usage data to customers through mobile and web-based tools, all designed to help customers better manage their energy use, Reed said. Quote, this advanced technology will provide our customers with access to more choices for pricing options and energy efficiency tools to help them manage their energy usage and better control costs, he said. It will also enable us to more quickly detect system disruptions, prevent outages, and restore service, end quote. Ameren Illinois will contact customers in advance of making the meter upgrades. Customers do not need to take any action or be present as long as installers have clear and safe access to the meters. The upgrades will take about 10 to 15 minutes and will be performed by Ameren Illinois or DONCO, D-O-N-C-O, contracting crews displaying Ameren photo ID badges. Installers will never ask for any payment. There will be a brief interruption to a customer's electrical service. If a customer is not present, a door hanger will be left to let them know if the upgrade was completed. Customers affected include Flanagan, Greymount, and Pontiac in Livingston County. In McLean County, communities include Arrowsmith, Bloomington, Carlock, Shenoa, Colfax, Cooksville, Danvers, Downs, Ellsworth, Gridley, Hayworth, Hudson, Leroy, Lexington, McLean, Myrna, Normal, Shirley, Stanford, and Towanda. The communities of Deer Creek, Mackinac, and Minier in Tazewell County and Congerville, El Paso, Eureka, Goodfield, Kappa, Panola, Roanoke, and Secor in Woodford County also are due for the upgrade. End of article. Calling all cars to cruise in. Bloomington. Vehicles of all styles, vintages, and types will converge on the historic David Davis Mansion next month for the 5th annual cruise in at the mansion. The event is from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. September 9th. That is a Saturday. At the historic site grounds, 1000 Monroe Drive in Bloomington. The fundraiser benefits the David Davis Mansion Foundation, and it is open to the public for a $5 donation. There is no entry fee for participating vehicles. Cruise In at the Mansion is sponsored by the Car Community Automobile Club and will feature a best-in-class for street rod, muscle car, truck, motorcycle, and special interest. The vehicles will be displayed on the grounds of the 1870s Victorian Mansion. Food, music, and the mansion and Sarah's Garden Tours will be offered. Dash plaques will be given to the first 100 participants. To reserve a dash plaque, email Cindy Kopa, that's CINDYKOPA at gmail.com. Or you can call Don or Cindy at 309-824-5594. 309-824-5594. Vehicle check-in begins at 9 a.m. the day of the event. Dash plaques are sponsored by the Car Community Automobile Club. The David Davis Mansion, State Historic Site, administered by the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency, was built in 1872. It is open Wednesday through Saturday from 9 in the morning until 4 p.m. for public tours. It is a not-for-profit organization supporting education, preservation, and acquisition programs for the David Davis Mansion. End of article. On duty, Brandon Miller, Bloomington. U.S. Air Force Air National Guard Airman, First Class Brandon E. Miller, son of Richard and Kim Miller of Bloomington, graduated from basic military training at Joint Base San Antonio Lackland, San Antonio, Texas. He is a 2017 graduate of Normal Community West High School. End of article. Move-in days add more redbirds to ISU family. Normal. Going to college is not just about academics. It is also about family, says Illinois State University officials as they prepare for the annual influx of students. One of our big themes this year is your redbird family, said Stacy Willambwe, director of University Housing Services. The family theme was part of preview orientation sessions for students and their parents. Vice President for Student Affairs, Lavester Johnson, spoke to those in attendance about what it means to be a Redbird, emphasizing values of family pride, respect, inclusion, integrity, and caring. Malambwe said she would encourage year-round residents to take up the care perspective, too. If someone looks lost or bewildered, reach out to them and ask if you can help. There could be a lot of bewildered people in town this week. Residents of ISU's apartments have been moving in since the beginning of the month, but students living in residence halls begin that move today. About 60% of the 6,100 on-campus residents will move in Wednesday and Thursday at Hewitt, Manchester, Watterson, Wright, Wilkins, and Haney Halls. That means certain restaurants and stores will be more crowded than usual, as will many roads. Temporary changes in traffic patterns will be in effect through Friday near campus. Updates on traffic and other issues that might arise will be posted on Twitter at ISU Housing and on the ISU mobile app. More than 300 students and staff will help at the residence halls, including student athletes. Move-in is a very exciting time. Describing it as a rite of passage, Malambwe also called it a bonding experience for both parents as well as students. Rather than expecting to create this romanticized version of a goodbye, figure out what works for you and your family and accept whatever farewell you get from your children, advised Malambwe. She is not the only person in ISU's Division of Student Affairs wearing two hats as an administrator and parent. The daughter of Katie Killian, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, will be a freshman at ISU this fall. Killian's advice to other parents is be there as a support, but try to allow them to figure things out themselves. That's a wrong word. Provide them with tools to solve some of the problems they may face. During the orientation sessions welcoming students, Johnson told parents from the president of the university to the faculty and staff to the ground crews, everyone is here to support our students. One way they do that, especially for new students, is through a program named House Calls. Volunteers from across campus, including faculty, take part. They knock on every door in the residence halls, offering warm cookies, nice, or some other treat, and ask what they can do to help, she said. Sometimes it's simple things. Other times it may involve helping them find a job or a tutor. Johnson said he told students if they remembered nothing else from his talk, they should remember to have each other's back because we are a community of care. End of article. Renner, we are not Mayberry anymore. Bloomington mayor seeks full-time aide. Ahead of a city council discussion tonight, one Bloomington alderman has voiced support for Mayor Terry Renner's request for a full-time aide, while another alderman says she does not see the need. Other aldermen said they were looking forward to learning more about the proposal, and the rest of the council remained silent last Friday. Renner contends he needs an aide to help him keep up with demands that he and most modern metro city mayors face. A formal discussion on that idea is slated for a special meeting of the City Council at 5 p.m. today at City Hall. The Council will meet about an hour in closed session and then return to open session to discuss the Mayor's request. The Council's regular meeting will then follow at 7 p.m. The Council is not expected to take any action on his proposal today. Quote, frankly, this is long overdue, said Renner, who is paid $12,000 annually to serve as mayor on a part-time basis. This would be somebody who pretty much could go everywhere with the mayor and help with constituency service, communication between the council and the mayor, policy making, and strategic scheduling of the mayor's time. We are not Mayberry anymore, said Renner, referring to the fictitious town that was a setting for two popular television shows in the 60s and early 70s. The job of mayor is much more substantial than 34 or 40 years ago, he said. On the books, the job of mayor is listed as part-time. That's a total fiction, said Renner. It is not a part-time job. Renner said he almost always spends more than 40 hours each week on mayoral duties. It is quite common for communities the size of Bloomington and even smaller to have dedicated staff available to assist the mayor and or the city council, said Illinois Municipal League Executive Director Brad Cole in a letter sent to Renner in July. Renner included the letter in the council's packet of information for Monday's discussion. Given the mayor's unrealistic salary, unless you are retired or independently wealthy, you are going to have to juggle two full-time gigs because you are not going to have something that pays your personal bills, said Renner, who is a political science professor at Illinois Wesleyan. The council would have to approve an ordinance to amend the fiscal 2018 budget to pay $50,000 for 8 months of salary and benefits and $90,000 for a full year, according to a memo drafted by staff to the council. I put it as a political appointment, which means whoever I appoint, the next mayor would reappoint their own person, said Renner. This person needs to be a jack of all trades, in a sense, someone who would represent the mayor at certain functions, or even neighborhood organizations who would work with the council on constituency concerns. He added, I would call it an ombudsman function. In May, almost immediately after being sworn in, after winning re-election to a second term, Renner said he began talking individually to some aldermen about having an aide to help him. Given the strong executive team in the city manager's office, I am hard-pressed to understand why we need this additional individual, said Ward 6 Alderman Karen Schmidt. Ward 7 Alderman Scott Black said he supports the position. In my time on the council, we continue to hear from staff of limited resources to research proposals, review policies, make comparative analysis, and shepherd projects to fruition, Black said. I am excited to have a dedicated resource to dig deep and ensure the council is getting the best bang for the taxpayers' buck. Alderman Diana Howman of Ward 8 and Amelia Baragas of Ward 4 both said they look forward to discussing that proposal in more detail. The demands on our mayor are substantial. It doesn't surprise me in the least that Mayor Renner has asked for assistance so he can provide a high level of constituent services and efficiencies that our residents deserve, said Baragas. Hammond said as of about 12:30 p.m. last Friday, the email she received on the topic expressed opposition. I have received about a dozen emails. They've been asking me not to support this, she said. Renner wants each council member to follow him around for a week so they get some idea of what it is like to be a Metro mayor, said Renner. Unless you have done it, you have no idea what it is like. Renner said he is not trying to change Bloomington Council's city manager's form of government. I have heard some people misunderstood this, he said. This is not a first step toward making Bloomington a strong mayor form of government. It is just the recognition that the mayor has a boatload of things going on. If the mayor is going to be effective, somebody should make sure the mayor's time is used effectively and that the mayor is informed properly about things, because you cannot be everywhere. End of quotes, end of article. Route 66 Walk and Run, set August 19th. The fourth annual Get Your 6.6 on Route 66 will begin at 8 a.m. on August 19th, Saturday. Participants will run or walk from Funk's Grove to McLean on the Mother Road and receive a pre-race shot of Funk's Grove Pure Maple Syrup and commemorative shot glass, t-shirt, and more. A post-race gathering on the McLean Town Square will include food, drink, music, car show, and games. A team trivia event will be from 10 a.m. until noon. Register at mhfgpd@frontier.com. You may call 309-874-2382, between 7:30 and 11:30 on weekend. On weekdays. The event is sponsored by CORE of McLean, a nonprofit community organization. Senior Expo and Food Drive set for September 6th. That is a Wednesday. The McLean County Senior Expo, hosted by Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home, will be from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Wednesday, September 6th, at the Interstate Center, 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington, with free admission, parking, and parking lot shuttle service. Donors of non-perishable food for the inaugural Calvert Cares Community Food Drive will receive a Denny's Donuts and Bakery free donut coupon while they benefit Midwest Food Bank and McLean County Food Pantries. The expo includes many free activities, events, and entertainment, including Miller Park Zoo, Zoo to You, Taste of the Expo samples, ice cream social and vendor displays, demonstrations, health screenings, and giveaways. End of article. Unit 5. Parents should be pleased with buses. Normal. Wednesday is the first day of class for McLean County Unit 5 schools. District officials are confident it will be nothing like last year. The first month of bus rides last year was hectic, to say the least. Frustrated students and parents reported buses were often late and overcrowded, or students were dropped off at the wrong stops. The issues stem from a mix of new school start times, rearranged bus routes, and the inability of the busing service First Student to retain enough drivers. Since spring, First Student and Unit 5 have worked tirelessly to hone the 129 district bus routes that will transport 10,000 students daily. Since spring, First Student and Unit 5 have worked on the issue. Mark Bowl joined Unit 5 last year as First Student Location Manager and has ironed out many of the transportation wrinkles. Quote, we've done a lot of additional training with drivers beyond what First Student requires, said Bull. Everyone I talk to says it has been the best training they've received in years, end quote. At Wednesday's Unit 5 school board meeting, Bohl said, and that's B-O-H-L, said first student has 146 drivers on the roster with 26 more in training. Drivers and monitors have completed situational training exercises, said Bohl, and reference books were provided to each driver, including names of each student on the route, turn-by-turn directions, school calendars, and contact information. In addition to the usual mock runs the drivers will complete Monday and Tuesday, drivers gained 2 additional days of route practice last week. Bohl said the extra training provided a chance for drivers to practice timing and detect any issues on their trip. Timeliness and overcrowding. Quote, last year a couple of buses had too many students. This year we are putting empty buses out to sit on nearby corners so they can swing around and pick up kids, said Bohl. Safety is our number one concern. He said routes may be tweaked because exact readership can't be predicted the first day. Readership? Some families register their student late or forget to inform a school their child will ride the bus. Buses are expected to arrive at their stops within a 5-minute window of the scheduled time provided on Unit 5 Skyward message boards. All buses are routed to arrive at school 10 minutes prior to the bell or earlier. Parent communication. Officials are asking parents to update their contact information on Skyward so notifications about late buses can be sent out accurately. If parents have concerns or questions about routes, Bohl said, call us. We are happy to answer any questions or work to solve any problem, he said. The number for the Unit 5 bus office is 309-559-4287. 309-559-4287. My Stop and Z Pass. In addition to driver training, Unit 5 has implemented new technology to keep buses and their routes efficient. GPS units and cameras have been installed on all buses. My Stop, a bus tracking app, will be available on the first day of school for parents to follow their child's bus route. Officials said the app has a 3-minute tracking delay but is otherwise accurate. ZPass units also have been installed on buses, and they will be tested with high school students after Labor Day. All student IDs have been printed on ZPass cards, which can be detected through the pocket of a backpack or a coat. Students will be asked to wave their cards as they enter the bus so the district can better gauge daily ridership. Bohl said the scanning process should not stall boarding time. If a student forgets a pass, the driver will scan a generic card to keep the count accurate. When a lack of substitute drivers complicated last year's bus routes, the relationship between Unit 5 and first student became strained. In November, the district set conditions that first student must pay Unit 5 $30,000 in penalties for late buses and improve their service or the partnership would be terminated. First student agreed and has since increased its substitute driver pool to ensure reliable service. There is a different tone, quote, coming from first student this year in their ability to serve the transportation needs of Unit 5, said District Superintendent Mark Daniel. Board member Joe Cleary said he was a critic last year, but feels reassured after seeing the level of preparedness for this year. Board member Mita Mickens-Baker agreed. When we agreed to move forward with the contract last year, first student made a lot of commitments. Those have been honored. I think parents will be really pleased, she said. End of article. End of quote. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, August 12th. At this time, we will take a short break.